Shepherd, there's a crew covering all Lily Wrestling, bringing you the news. It's Sunday Night Raw, gonna rock your world. Tune into the podcast, let the chaos unfurl. The energy's electric, the passion's on fire.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It's Sunday night. It is January 12th, 2025. Brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast, streaming live on the Kicking Out Podcast Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Twitch channel. Hit that like button, hit that follow button, that subscribe button, hit that notification bell on YouTube. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, give us not only that five-star rating, but make sure you're following us or subscribed on there as well. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Austin Shepherd, the KOP Predictions Champion, is back on the pod. Just a two-man show tonight, no Paul.
Just two-man show. I mean, had to miss last week. Had a little thing going out on the West Coast, but I'm back. I'm back. And actually, I watched quite a bit of wrestling this week, which was kind of nice.
I was going to ask you if you're all cut up, because I know you had a lot to catch up from being on the West Coast.
I had a lot to catch up. I did not catch up a lot on the New Japan shows. I just very, very little bit. I started watching both of them. Got distracted, fell asleep, whatever you want to call it. but when I got back to the lovely state of Indiana, I was actually able to catch the first Monday Night Raw on Netflix. Yep. I caught some NXT with The Rock the following night called New Year's Evil. And then obviously I did watch the full show of Dynamite on Wednesday. So I felt like I watched a lot of wrestling so far this week.
Yeah, you sure have. You sure definitely have. I see we got Majin in the chat. We got Steffi in the chat. We got Brandon J in the chat. How's everybody doing tonight? The New Japan or the Japan shows, I did not watch Wrestle Kingdom, but I did order Wrestle Dynasty, in which Paul and I kind of talked about that last week. If you do get a chance to watch it, Shep, I would recommend doing so because I think you're going to love it.
I'm a New Japan member, so yep. It's there. I just got to find the time.
Yep. Gabe Kidd, Kenny Omega. I can't say enough about that match. It was stupid. Just stupid, which you knew was going to be with Kenny's return match, but Gabe Kidd's a stud.
You know, when he gets recognition on Busted Open when Bully Ray,
yeah,
and Bully Ray puts over a New Japan wrestler and an AEW wrestler, not that he is biased by any mean, but he went out of his way to put that match over. It's got to be pretty special.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. And another match I really enjoyed on that card, they all were good, but David Finlay and Brody King, I thought was a really fun match as well, which I texted you guys that, I think, if I remember correctly. So
I think you did, but I was drunk.
Yep. No, you should be a nice vacation with your friends and wife out there. So be disappointed if you weren't.
Those guys are bad influences on me.
Are you a bad influence on them?
No. I mean, they get out there away from their kids and they're just like, let's have double transfusions. I'm like, okay.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do though?
Yeah. Hey, here's a funny story. This is great. You know, we're from the Midwest, obviously, and our cocktail beverages and beers are a little bit less expensive out here. And the first morning we were there, I was there with one of my good buddies. He's my insurance agent, actually. He's the boss of the insurance agency, and I said, hey, let's have some transfusions. I said, let's get a double transfusion and go to the first tee. This is the first day of the tournament. And he's like, all right. He goes, you know what? I'm buying. I said, okay. And so we got two double Tito transfusions. And the guy goes, that'll be $65. They were $32.50 a pop.
Oh, my God.
I'm just like, wow, welcome to California, man.
Yep.
Normally. Normally that drink's like $8 here, maybe $9.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And you know what the funny part is the people out there, they're so conditioned. Like they said $65 like straight face, like
normal
Yeah, like you should not be shocked by, I'm telling you, $65. And then so we get to playing in the golf tournament. We played fairly well. One of the guys in the tournament is a beer drinker. And every time it was his turn to buy the round, he was pissed because a beer out there was like $10, which is still a lot, but a beer is like $10. And the three of us were drinking transfusions at $32.50. He's like, I'm getting
something cheap.
Yeah. He ended up winning his division, so he still made money, so he's fine. Yeah. He's fine. Oh. But yeah.
Well, glad you enjoyed it. Glad you had a good time. I saw some pictures and I saw you, I think it was on hole 7, I think your wife recorded you on, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, you hitting a shot.
So. I did. Hole 7 of Pebble Beach is I would say legendary, but I don't know if that legendary does the word for that hole. Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That whole golf course is amazing. The whole peninsula is amazing. It's the only place in California that I think is worth visiting. So
there you go.
You know,
there you go. Which I should say, thoughts and prayers to everybody out in the LA area. That's awful. What's going on out there? Well, you were talking about drinking. What are you drinking tonight?
Well, you know, since I just got off vacation, I probably should dry out a little bit. So we're just drinking a 5-count of vodka and some bubbly, just the typical
the staple.
We're just drying out a little bit. We had plenty of nights. We shut down the bar called Traps. There was only like a handful of Indiana teams out there. I think there was three. Well, four. There's two teams from our golf course. There's a team from Fort Wayne, Indiana, a team from Chesterton, Indiana.
Hey, there's a team from my backyard.
Yeah. Fort Wayne Country Club, Chad Ayers and the Fort Wayne Country Club guys. We'll leave it at that. Our team, Rock Hollow number one, okay? We showed them sons of bitches how to drink and party and play a little golf. So I was pretty proud of our team. Out of 80 some teams, we finished T9 for gross, no handicap, just straight gross. And then our professional won his division.
I did see that. Yep.
So we shut down Traps three nights in a row. So
sounds like success all the way around.
Yeah, like I said, we'll show them boys how to drink.
Majin says, Shep, you want to talk legendary? Look no further than Joe Neuendijk, buddy.
Oh, Joe Neuendijk's a legend, even though he's got deeper pockets than me. You know, I tried to run his ass up.
Well, I brought a special drink with me tonight. Mm. I was texting you and Paul about this yesterday. I said, hey, I got a drink I'm a little excited about for tomorrow. So, you know, I like to look for wrestling-inspired beers whenever I can find one. And they're kind of getting hard to come by and hard to find. But I found one yesterday at Meijer. And I don't know if it's not inspired by a wrestler, but the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, Mark Sterling.
Oh, you found some garage beers.
This is one of their new sponsors. I got myself a garage beer. Yes, sir.
You could not get those anywhere in our lonely little.
It was on an end cap.
An end cap, really?
Yeah, we were literally, my wife and I were like done shopping or about to go to check out, and we walked past like one more aisle, and right there, they're on the end cap of where all the beer was. I didn't even check because I didn't think they would have it at Meijer. And they had this the classic, and they also had the lime flavor. I went with the classic tonight. So,
yeah. The Kelsey brothers, man.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Look at you. You're basically kissing Taylor Swift's ass.
Oh, God. Have you seen – what I'm wearing right now, have you seen my room? I want nothing to do with the Kansas City Chiefs. I want nothing to do with Taylor Swift. But okay. I like Jason Kelsey. I will not say anything nice about Travis Kelsey. But yes, Majin, I am drinking tonight.
Travis Kelsey's not a bad dude. He gets caught up with the power of the – you know what I mean.
He's always killed my team twice a year ever since he got in the league. So
okay,
that's why I hold against him.
You can't hate him for that.
Even though he's a heck of a player. So, yeah, I'm pumped to drink one of these.
It's not cool his fault. It's not his fault. You're secondary shit.
That's true. That's true. Especially today. well, and run defense. But that's we're here to talk wrestling, not football today. So,
yeah, so right. I don't want to talk football anymore.
So, cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
That's a lot smoother than I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
So is that a Pilsner? Or
just a light beer.
Just a light just garage light beer. Light yep. beer. What a classic label, too.
It's only 4%, 95 calories. So I guess that's what they're going for. But, yeah, the logo is real cool. Yeah. I'll have to try a lime one sometime, too, because I do like lime-flavored things. But.
So is that – being that smooth, that's chuggable then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I got to find it. I got to find me some of those.
Yep. Yep. So it was not the All-American beer or whatever Paul thought I was going to bring on. I'm not. Nope, not doing that, brother. Well, what you're a shit show that was Monday.
You're in the Midwest, so it'd been okay.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't go out to the blue states and rip your shirt off. And
well, you know, I do think some of, and I know we'll get talking AEW here momentarily, but I think some of that was politically driven, but also I think some of it wasn't. I think some of it was just like, what's Hogan even adding to the show anymore? You know, it's I don't know.
I think for me
it's the racist stuff. That's what I got a problem with, all his racist comments that he's never apologized for.
Yeah,
I think that's what I got a problem with.
I think 90% of the boos were political, just because of him at the Republican National Convention and the way he acted. He came out and had the Trump Mania shirt on, but
we've seen Taker have Trump on his podcast, and he's an outspoken right-wing guy, and they didn't boo him.
No, because I think he has held himself more professionally in the limelight than what Hogan has done. Hogan has been through the ringer. Yes, with his racist stuff, with his lawsuits, with his marriages, you know, and Taker, on the other hand, has just been, hey, you know, you can believe what you want to believe, but you don't have to be an outspoken asshole right. about it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I thought I'd caught up to Hogan.
Yep.
Again, Hogan is – take his personal life out. Hogan has put the wrestling business.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. We're not here talking about this today if he didn't do what he did in the 80s and even in the 90s. Yes, yeah. I agree with that.
It is what it is. Did we need to see that? No. I think that little cameo could have waited till WrestleMania. It did not need to be on the debut of Netflix. There's too many cameos. The show was hot. To begin with, did not need Hogan and Jimmy Hart. And when did I ever think that Hogan would look older than Jimmy Hart?
Yeah, he looks pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Hart's been 80 years old for 20 years.
Yeah, he doesn't age anymore.
He doesn't. And it's all of a sudden, like, Hogan looks older than Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
You know,
it'll be interesting to see how they use him next time, because this is a multi-year partnership with his beer. I mean, hell, the logo's on the ring.
Around the ring. So, I bet you won't see Hogan until Mania.
Yeah.
And I would not be shocked if his Mania appearance goes from on the ramp, in-ring appearance to a backstage cameo.
Or even like a pre-tape thing or something. Yeah it wouldn't shock me, because – yeah, I was just surprised, because you think, you know, WWE is pretty smart about reading the room, at least in this era they are, with the Triple H era, and they whiffed on that one because they had to know what they were sending them out in front of that audience. But
yeah. Again, I think that show was hot enough they didn't even need him. They could have skipped that and been fine.
I agree, Majin. I was watching, you know, and because I did tune into the whole thing Monday night because I wanted to see the presentation and everything. And yeah, they're shouting out all these celebrities, and they shout out Topanga, but Eric, the guy who plays Eric Matthews, is right next to her. No mention at all. Yeah.
Well, Topanga, man. Come on. You raise your hand if you didn't have a crush on Topanga back in the day. I don't even care. Majin, did you guys get that shit up in Canada?
Mal just a big Boy Meets World fan. He's commented on that before on here. So
I don't know. They must have had one of them super duper satellites up there to get that show.
That was a good show. Good show.
It was a great show.
Absolutely. But no, my last thoughts on Monday night, since this is we want to get talking to AEW here. I mean, it was a weird show. I honestly thought it was weird. The whole Rock stuff still irks me. I mean, I know people are saying he was more the ambassador on this show and not carry storylines, but the whole Rock Cody stuff, that's how you're going to end that whole feud? What?
I don't think it's over. Did you hear? No, you didn't hear his comments though. He said we've shed blood all over the road, and we're going to shed blood again. But right now, I'm going to raise my glass to you because you've carried this company for the last year. He's the board member talking. This isn't.
Yeah, I don't like that though. I don't like that. Give me the final boss.
Yeah, but you're ushering in a new era. It's not time to put the final boss on the screen. Uttering in a new era of television that has never been done before. So why not have the board member come out and put the whole company over? He put the whole company over. Okay. I thought it was perfect. And I know we talked about it, and I listened to Busted Open and Bully, and they all bitched about it.
Yeah. I agreed with what they said.
But like, guys, he's the board member. He's the $30 million man.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
Put your company over, put your product over, and guess what? Let's go have a shot of tequila, and then next week, all bets are off. It's game on.
I don't think we see him back for a while. I don't think he's doing Mania this year. I think if he was doing Mania, they would have done an angle with him and Cody, or at least him and Roman, with the whole Ulafala thing, and they didn't.
I disagree. I think he shows up and won Indianapolis, Indiana, at Lucas Oil.
I will pop because I will be there. So I will pop if he does. So
not that we would put our prediction title on this show. I think The Rock cost Cody in the ladder match.
Okay. I don't think The Rock shows up at all. Unless if he does, it's to cost Roman the Rumble. I think John Cena wins the Rumble.
Actually, reports today, since your boy's been cleared, they're saying one of the big favorites to show up at Rumble is Brock Lesnar.
Why is he my boy?
He's your boy. You like?
I've never said anything about Brock Lesnar on this podcast. I don't think.
I said since your boy is cleared from all allegations, Brock is now a favorite to show up at the Rumble.
Pluggo, what's going on, buddy? Respect to Tanner for showing up today after that massacre he witnessed this afternoon. Yeah, pretty disappointing way to go out for the season, but still a good season for my Broncos. Made the playoffs first time since 2015. So,
hey, I was the dumbass that took Broncos plus 7.5.
I about did this morning and decided not to.
So. I loved the bet after the first opening drive.
Oh, sure. Then Sean got all conservative after the fake punt. Run, run, pass, baby, all day long.
No, it's called puff, puff, pass. I mean, I'm sorry, run, run, pass.
Should have been puff, puff, pass. Let's get our quarterback in 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 all day long. Yeah, that sounds like a winning formula.
That's okay. At least your quarterback can complete a pass to his wide receivers.
That's true.
Yeah.
Your franchise is in a whole another tailspin. We'll say that for another day. But
I'm not even talking about the Colts. I'm talking about my Penn State Lions.
Yeah. Drew Allard. Yeah. He threw up all over himself.
No, he didn't. He shit down his leg and pissed down his leg.
Fair enough. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We won't talk about that either.
AEW podcast.
AEW. Let's get to AEW. It's been 20 minutes. We're all over the place. My God. So Paul and I kind of changed it up last week, Shep. Instead of going like down the card every match, we kind of just listed what we liked and didn't like on the shows we watched. And I thought we could kind of do that this week, or I could throw out a few topics and we can discuss it. I mean, of course, our title of tonight's Kenny Omega Returns to AEW. Let's start off with that. What did you think about Kenny's return on Dynamite Wednesday night?
After knowing what he did in New Japan with Gabe Kidd, I thought his promo was a 9.9 out of 10. It was real. It was from the heart. It didn't feel scripted. It didn't feel choreographed or, you know, it felt real. And I liked it.
Yeah. No, he, you know, when I watched him in over in New Japan against Gabe Kidd, I was thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, I still think Darby's going to be the guy to take it off Mox, especially with the new report that Darby's going to be out like through the spring, getting ready for Everest and climbing Everest. I still think, I'm still calling my shots all in. But I really wish Tony would just scrap everything and change plans and go forward with Omega. He is one of the heartbeats of the company. He and a couple other guys. And when he's on, man, he's tough to beat in the ring and on the mic. I
think back in the day, when I first started, you asked me who was on my Mount Everest of
Rushmore, Mount Rushmore.
I said Everest. Yeah, we're talking about sorry, Rushmore, Mount Rushmore. Yeah, we were talking about Darby. And my last guy, and I think I kind of shocked you all a little bit, and I put Kenny Omega.
I remember that. Yep.
I mean, I had The Rock, Flair, Austin, you know, whoever, and then the last guy said, "Man, there's just something about this guy." And at that time, I had watched he had his matches with Jericho in New Japan, and then one match with Ospreay in New Japan, and I'm just like,
and Okada too, right?
Yeah, Okada as well. I'm like, those three matches, those first three matches, Jericho won, Okada won, and Ospreay won. There is something special about this guy. He's the common denominator in all these matches. And yeah, I used to make fun of him as well. And call him Jazz Hands. He's got his quirks, but he knows how to sell. He knows how to perform. And he knows how to make you bite, hook, line, and sinker.
Yep.
And on top of that, he's a hell of an athlete.
Yep.
So, yeah, to this day, he's still on my Rushmore.
Majin saying, with Darby being out, while I hate the show this quote is from. Like, oh, gotcha. Tony, please pivot. Pivot, Friends reference. We can't wait that long for Darby to get back. The Mox storyline as a whole has been shit. Pivot.
So I've been listening for 2 weeks now. At first I disagreed with this gentleman, but he's got a pretty good a track record. But Bully Ray says John Moxley is not a heel. John Moxley is a face. And no matter what he does, he will always be a face. He's a face of that company. And the more I hear about it, and he said it three or four times last week, he's right. Is psychotic, I don't know if that's the right word, as Mox tries to be and can be, everybody wants to cheer for Mox, right? I mean, look what he's done for that company when he could have, you know, taken his ball and ran, and he was there for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for him to be a heel right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not that big face to go against him right now to make him look like a big ass heel. The biggest heel in the company right now is MJF. He's overshadowing your champion.
Yep.
So, yep. Write this down. It's 8:57 on a Sunday night, and I agreed with Majin.
Marking it down.
Marking it down.
But no, I liked Kenny's promo. And then we got Callis. Callis comes out. And I'm like, oh, God. But I love how Kenny jumps out of the ring, jumps on top of him right before he can talk any crap, get some punches in. And then we see Archer and Cage. And then eventually Kyle Fletcher. And then Ospreay comes out for the save. And we go off air with those two kind of staring each other down. But looks like they might have to form a little bit of a partnership for a little while to fight some of these guys off. So we get Brian Cage, Kenny Omega coming up on this Wednesday night's Dynamite. Not the direction I would have went with the returning Kenny Omega, but I'm here to let it play out.
All I can say is fucking Cage better not hurt him.
If
that's your comeback and you decide to be put in the ring with him, not that he's unsafe, but it's like,
right,
don't waste the shit out with Cage. You know how I feel about Brian Cage.
Yeah, you didn't even get a... Beyond last week when we were talking about him winning the 100K four-way match on Collision last week, and we're like, no ship would have loved this. And we're like, Tony Khan literally just loves Brian Cage. Seems like he pushes him all the time.
I hope he paid him 100K in yen.
that's a good point you brought up with Kenny. Hopefully Kenny doesn't get hurt, because you look at Kenny's time in AEW, we've lost 2 years in total.
Two out of the five?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, with all the matches and storylines that could have been. So we'll see. We'll see there. But we were talking a little bit about the Death Riders. We know Moxley's going to defend the title against Powerhouse Hobbs. Hobbs getting a nice little push, won the gauntlet.
Out of nowhere.
And then looked like a badass last night on Collision when Mox was trying to hit him with the chair, or did hit him with the chair. So, you know, will Hobbs win Wednesday night? No. But I think he can put on a good performance, and I'm glad they're doing something with him.
Did I hear the commentators right? Moxley brought Hobbs into AEW.
Correct.
He was handpicked. I don't know if Mox helped train him, mm-hmm. but Mox brought Hobbs into AEW.
Correct. Yep. That's what Hobbs even said on the mic when it was him and Renee. And I love how he rips Mox right there. And everybody knows the relationship, of course, with Mox and Renee, and husband and wife, but yet in the world of AEW, they don't really ever explore it. So that was good. That was good stuff. That was good stuff. I have no problem with Hobbs getting the shine here in the match. A few other things I want to discuss here. The future of the House of Black, because reportedly Malakai is done in AEW, which makes sense. Going back in November, we saw that weird exchange with him and Cole after a match, and we all thought he might be done then, but then he and Brody were in that four-way ladder match for the tag titles at Full Gear, so we're like, okay, maybe he's not done. Well, he hasn't been on TV since. It's reported that his contract's going to be up, I think, later this month or next month. He's probably WWE bound again. But, you know, they're kind of planting the seeds for this new age House of Black with Brody, Buddy, and Julia. We saw Buddy go against Ospreay Wednesday night. Banger of a match to open the show. Ospreay pretty much said, you know, you don't need those guys. Or something along those lines. Saw Copeland last night go up to Brody King and Julia and give them respect and pretty much said, take the ball and run with it. So I don't think House of Black's going anywhere. I just think it's going to be a new look. And I think Brody King's going to have a big, big 25.
Yeah. I could see them really, if Malakai's done, I could see Tony really pushing those guys to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
Not that those guys don't deserve it.
Right.
They're hellacious performers. And
like Majin said, have Buddy and Brody win the tag titles. They're too over and dominant to not be doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect place for them.
Yep.
And
tag division needs something like that.
Tag division needs three or four dominant teams right now, and there's only about two.
I like the Hurt Syndicate getting involved in tag title sing. I like that.
Yeah.
It's different, but
those guys to me are individual performers.
Right. But if they can't even be close to the title picture right now, and what was the use to put the titles on Private Party? I mean, it was a cool match leading up to the title match and a cool moment when they won the titles off the Bucks. But since then, and this is probably not their fault, they've barely been used. It's been worthless. A worthless title reign so far.
No, their biggest segment is having a bar on the stage.
Yeah. I mean, just the use of the tag division from what it used to be drives me insane.
And we'll see what it does with the Bucks winning the IWGP titles in Japan, which I thought was a little bit of a shocker. I like it because we're going to see those on television now, which I think is a legendary belt. So maybe that just brings the Bucks right back into it, and
yeah,
we're gonna build this tag division all of a sudden.
Yeah, because I mean that's why if you have Brody and Buddy there, Lashley and Shelton, there's a couple other teams you could probably throw in the mix. Maybe build it up a little differently than you have in the past. Archer Cage, I know how you feel about Cage, but those are two powerful guys. Throw them in the mix.
FTR, Outrunners.
Sure, sure. They're already there, you know, so.
They're already there. Yep. Although we'll get to the Dax and Jericho match on Collision.
Oh, pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. And I presume you saw the 12-man tag that's going to happen on Collision next week.
I did.
I don't know. But going back to Malakai a little bit, I really wish it would have worked out with him in AEW. I liked how they presented him when he first came into AEW, had that hot story with Cody, three matches, and then they just kind of got lost in the shuffle. I don't know if it was he and Tony not agreeing on creative or what it was. There's been multiple reports. You know, he was supposedly under contract till 2027, but now here we are in 2025. Looks like his contract's done. So I don't know if the option years weren't picked up or what the case was there. But, I think they could have done some really cool stuff with Malakai and just kind of dropped the ball.
You know, I felt like once he got on the scene, every other month there was a rumor that he was leaving. I always felt like he did not feel like he was there. Kind of reminded me of Andrade.
Yeah.
Just didn't fit. Obviously, Andrade goes back. His wife's there.
Yeah.
Malakai's going to go back. His wife's there.
Right.
You know, common denominator here.
But do you think he could get lost in the mix at WWE too? Because I feel like they got a huge roster now too.
Andrade's already lost in the mix.
Yeah. And I'm talking about Malakai.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that was my point. If Andrade's already lost in the mix, Malakai's going to get lost.
Yeah.
You know, there's a handful of guys right now that are hot in the WWE.
Right.
And I don't know if he could be one of them.
Right. Right. So. Majin says, I believe in time Tony will write the tag division. His focus has been on improving the women's division since everyone shits on it for it. Shits on him for it.
Yeah.
I like the Tony Storm stuff going on. Tony Storm's a lot of fun.
She's always been fun.
Yeah. She has.
She's always been fun. The CEO's come on of late.
She was awesome in Japan.
Yeah. I saw highlights of that. I thought she was awesome in her last AEW match as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of potential in that women's division. And all of a sudden now Toni Storm's going to be climbing the ladder because she's a rookie.
Yep. Like Fernando's agreeing with you here on YouTube. Alistair's going to get the El Idolo treatment back in WWE.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Which sucks because both those guys are banger performers.
Imagine saying Chris Sabin's lost in the mix already. Him and Alex Shelley, they did win Friday night. I tuned into SmackDown, but yeah, they had the titles and then lost them already. So
who they lose them to? I didn't even know. War Raiders.
Yeah, are they the SmackDown tag champs or the Raw tag champs?
I don't know. I get confused. I only watch the main event.
Nope. They're the Raw champs. War Raiders. Gargano and Ciampa. Are the SmackDown champs. Harley Cameron's been doing some good work. Absolutely. She's really entertaining. Yeah. Yeah. So. Majin, so about that spot in the women's match, I think he's talking about the Statlander, Willow, and Toni Storm match on Wednesday night, the crotch spot that had Excalibur wheezing. He was laughing so hard. I can't believe we've never seen that before.
It was different.
It caught
everybody off guard.
I like how they had Statlander win, give her a good win, because you know Tony's going to win that gauntlet this Wednesday night. There's no doubt in my mind she's going to win that gauntlet. Then her and Mariah going to go against each other on February 15th in Australia at Grand Slam. But this Toni Storm storyline is just so fun right now, her rookie year.
Her rookie year, got to climb the ranks, yeah. And then I think once you, yeah, that's a good one. I think once you get her there, does she have the epiphany and come back as Timeless Toni Storm?
I gave my theory a few weeks ago. I think she is Timeless Toni Storm playing the role of the rookie Toni Storm. Yeah.
I don't think we've seen the last of Timeless Toni Storm.
No. I mean, she's such a creative mind, though, to be able to change your character up. I mean, this is three characters in a row that's worked for her. So, yeah. One other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on Wednesday night was this segment with Double J, Jeff Jarrett, and MJF. What'd you think about that? Oh, well, first, since you weren't on last week, I want to get your opinion on Double J's announcement 2 weeks ago that he wasn't retiring, signed his last talent contract with AEW, and he wants gold, but not just any gold. He wants world gold. So we're talking about 57-year-old Jeff Jarrett going for the world title.
I mean, don't put it past Tony Khan to do some crazy shit. But do you now, do you feel this is a defense mechanism coming up against the WWE with John Cena going on his final farewell tour?
Well, I love Jeff Jarrett. I think he's done good stuff in AEW. I'm a Double J fan. You can't compare him to John Cena. Not even close. And like I said last week, I don't mind him getting gold in AEW, but I don't want it to be a world title. Don't let him get anywhere near the world title at age of 57. Unless, you know, if he faces Moxley on like a Dynamite for it, I'm okay. But I don't want to see him headline a pay-per-view for the world title. No. So, but I did not see MJF getting his nose into this storyline. But that's what we did on Wednesday night, and it was interesting.
It was okay. All of a sudden now, Jarrett is coming across as a face. You know, he came into the company as a heel with Lethal and Satnam Singh and his wife. And he was just one of those asshole heels. And then all of a sudden here over the last 3 weeks, he's turned into a face. It started with when he was in the Owen Cup, you know.
Put that great – they had that vignette. That was awesome.
Awesome. And then all of a sudden now he's going to be a face. And, you know, to have MJF come out and cut him off and cut a heel promo on him just kind of makes him look even bigger of a face. I would like to see this. I would like to see for the next 6 months Double J have some great matches where he's right there but could never pull it off.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's against MJF, whether it's against Daniel Garcia for a belt, whether it's against Mox for a belt, whether he gets a tag team partner and goes against for the tag team champion.
Satnam Singh.
I said a good partner. I could see Double J for the next 6 months having a lot of really, really good matches and really, really getting us hooked, but just never getting the 1-2-3.
How about eventually getting the MJF versus Jarrett? If Jarrett loses, he has to retire match.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that happening not all the way at the end of the year.
Right.
I could see that happening midsummer. At an all in, all out.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep. But it is interesting to see Jarrett all of a sudden really involved in some heavy storylines in AEW right now.
Well, you know what? The guy, if you remember correctly, right before he came full time with AEW, he was doing that new outlaw shit with GCW.
The Last Outlaw.
And it was good.
Yeah.
He had a great match with Effie. Mm-hmm. And actually Effie put him over. Mm-hmm. Which I remember we talked about like holy shit, he's gonna go there and he's gonna elevate Effie and shit, Effie put him over.
Yep.
Give the guy another 6-7 months.
Yeah.
Speaking of GCW, we gotta have a little discussion about what's coming up this weekend.
Right. Fernando said best case scenario, MJF retires, Jeff Jarrett.
And I can see that. I can see MJF. I'm sorry. I could see Jeff Jarrett putting a guy like MJF over on a retirement match.
I know he thinks very highly of MJF. I've heard him on his My World podcast with Conrad Thompson, which is one of my favorite wrestling podcasts. That's how I learned to like Double J a lot, you know. I was so on him his whole career, and then he started this pod, and I'm like, he's a really good storyteller, and he seems like a pretty good guy. So,
just don't buy gold off of him.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a little global force. That didn't go so well.
That was kind of a backfire.
Majin, as I've said, Jeff can still work, and he's been having matches better than folks half his age. Let him cook.
Yeah, you know what? For 57 years old, the guy can still move in the ring. He really can.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Adam Copeland, it sure looks like they're teeing him up for Moxley's opponent at Revolution. I didn't really care for the segment with Cope and FTR and the Death Riders, the Wednesday night. Felt like it was another redundant segment that we get over and over and over again. Yeah, I don't know. I go back to Fernando's comment up here. Too many aging stars gunning for the AW championship. Cope, I should say. Got to call him Cope now. Christian and Jeff Jarrett.
So, yeah, did that just start this past week? We're just going to call him
Cope? 2 weeks ago. It was right after. It was the Dynamite after he returned at World's End. And this is all his doing. He wants to go by Cope now. So, Radar Superstar Cope. Just when I was getting used to calling him Adam Copeland and not Edge, they throw this on me. So,
just doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. But I agree, Fernando. I think rated FTR is going to win the Trios Championships, and they need to get it off. They need to get it off Claudio, Wheeler, and Pac because they've done nothing with them.
They don't even carry the belts anymore.
No, the Trios divisions, the Trios titles are crap. You know, they should have called them the World Trios titles and made the ROH and AEW combined them, and then you can defend them wherever. That's what they should have done with them. Because the ROH Trios titles with Von Erichs and Dustin, I know the Von Erichs have been banged up, which they are officially All Elite. They signed with AEW/ROH now. But those titles haven't been defended in a while either. So, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Modern said, very little Mercedes on Dynamite made my night. Expect nothing less. Expect nothing less. Collision last night. The Jericho Dax, and we're big fans of Dax on here. But God, that was an ugly match. That whole finish with Bryce Rensburg involved was just clunky, not smooth at all.
But Jericho's 56 years old.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put everybody's gonna say you're a mark for Dax, but I would think. With the experience level, Jericho had the lead in that match and kind of fumbled it.
Yeah, I knew they weren't going to have him take the pin 3 weeks in a row. I figured he was going to beat Dax. And that's what they did. Now we're going to get a 12-man tag on Collision next week. So you got the Outrunners in Rated FTR in Hobbs versus the Learning Tree, Big Bill, Jericho, and Brian Keith. And the Death Riders, Wheeler, Claudio, and Mox. Here's my gripe. Jericho and Mox have hated each other since the start of AEW. Now they're teaming together in a match. The only way I could get on board with this is if that team loses, Mox gets pissed, and they lay waste to the Learning Tree after the match. That's the only way I can get on board with that.
Got to.
I mean, if not, what are we doing? Makes no sense at all. And this is a Mox-driven story, too. Like, he's behind the creative of this whole thing, this whole Death Riders angle.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going. That's the problem.
Yes, Fernando, Cope and Big Bill, that was one of Cope's best matches in AEW. And Big Bill can, and I know, Shep, I know you hate the name, but he's proven he can, when they release him on his own, he can do some stuff.
William Morrissey's a good performer. Yep. He's a good professional wrestler.
Yeah, Fernando's even saying last night was Big Bill's best performance in AEW.
No, it wasn't. It was William Morrissey's good best performance in AEW.
Oh, we're never going to get you on board there, are we?
No. No, you got a better chance of me going on a diet. Me willingly love to say Big Bill.
And Majin's still saying pivot. Pivot to Kenny.
Somehow we got to.
Yep. And, you know, I think it'd be different if Danielson was healthy. Maybe he saves everybody from this, but
I don't think you'll see Danielson until Arlington. Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, that May?
I think it's July.
Is it as always?
It's July 12th. I think it's July 12th this year. Right.
I don't think you see Danielson until July.
Yeah. Which I think last year, I think it was in April. Maybe they'll do the same this year, but we should be finding out like the destinations for the rest of the year is for the pay-per-views. So we know All In's in Arlington. We know Forbidden Door's in London. But outside of that, we don't know where All Out, of course, will be in Chicago because Tony won't run it anywhere else. And Double or Nothing, I'm sure, will be in Vegas. But as far as like as Dynasty and Wrestle Dream and Full Gear and World's End, we don't know where those are going to be yet. So,
and Wrestle Dream was always a West
Coast. That's been the Washington, Washington state of Washington most of the year. So, yeah. Maj, even with his wife potentially going back to WWE, I could see Nikki going back, but I don't think Brie will go back.
Oh, I want to say they say Nikki going back just because they gave her a cameo during the Netflix Raw.
That was Nikki. Yeah, no, Nikki. Yeah, you're sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you said Brie. Yeah,
that was Nikki. If Brie goes anywhere, it'll be AEW.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I love Dirt Sheets, right? They said the new bodyguard for the CEO could be one Glamazon Beth Phoenix. I read that.
I'd rather get involved in the storyline right now and go against Marina. We have not seen Marina Shafir wrestle yet a match since she's been involved with the Death Rider storyline.
No, just has the crazy eyes and has the key around her neck.
Yeah, and the briefcase that supposedly has the AEW World title in it, but we've never seen that. So, yeah. Fernando, do you think AJ Lee will return? I thought at one time there was a decent chance she'd be back in WWE after Punk was, but I don't know. Every year that passes, it's more less unlikely, I'd say. So I think it's all in her up to her. If she wants to, she certainly can. But I don't know.
And well, I saw some house show highlights over the weekend. Punk just looks like he's having a shit ton of fun.
He is. I think he's on his best behavior right now. I think he's in line to get a main event at WrestleMania. Because if Cena doesn't win the Rumble, my other pick is Punk. I think one of those two wins it. So, yeah. Yeah. Majin, give her something to do. Marina shouldn't just be on the sidelines doing nothing. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But, you know, AEW is in a good spot. The best spot they've been in a while. As far as health of their roster, I feel like, you know, a lot of their heavy hitters that were out, you know, Cope, Adam Cole, Kenny, they're all back. On the women's side, you got Julia Hart back. Jamie Hayter's back. Still missing Sky Blue. She'll be hopefully back in a couple months. Saw a picture of Eddie Kingston pop up online last night. He's definitely grown out his beard. He's still probably late spring, sounds like. But he'd be good in the storyline, I think, right now, the Death Rider storyline.
He would definitely be one to go against Mox, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Majin here, she'll probably come back for a Rumble appearance like Gail Kim is rumored to be in talks for. I did not see that. Oh, interesting.
God, Gail Kim hadn't been on TNA in 6 years.
It's been a while.
But she's been running behind the scenes for the ladies on TNA, though, hadn't she?
I think you're right. I think so.
And I remember she had a great run in TNA, and then she came to WWE, had a quick flash, and the next thing you know, she's back in TNA. So,
Majin asked if we saw a picture of Keith Lee. I have not.
No, I have not.
I know he's been sidelined with, I don't know if it's an injury or illness for a while, but yeah, he's another one. They'll get back. Samoa Joe should be coming back sometime soon. Every time Sean Ross gets asked about Wardlow, he's been injured, so no idea with him. Yeah. Well, I'm also thinking coming up Wednesday night, we have Kenny versus Brian Cage We have the Women's Gauntlet. We have Hook versus Christian. Thank God we're finally going to get into that story, hopefully. Who do you think wins that match?
Hook.
I think Christian wins it. I think Hook takes him to the brink, and it might be one of those where Christian wins, then Hook gets the better of him after the match, kind of like we saw with Daniel Garcia and MJF last year.
If Christian wins, it won't be clean.
Right.
By any
right.
means.
Right. You know, because Christian's got that briefcase or that contract, so I don't know what a loss would do. But at the same time, like Hook, you know, I think we still all envision him as this rookie, you know, the young kid. He's been in the company now 4 years, and it's time to have him wrestle more, like not once every 2 months, unless his contract's coming up or something. But it's time to take the training wheels off of him. Long overdue.
Which his contract was coming up, and he said he was going to shop himself, but that was about three, four months ago.
Yeah, I've asked SRS a few times on the Fightful Q&As, and he's never answered my question. So, because I wanted to know what the latest with Hook's contract was. So.
He's dodging you.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't know. Fernando says Samoa Joe will come back to help Hook win. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I'd be good with that. So, and Majin did say Gail Kim is the booker for the Knockouts division, TNA.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Is Mickey James involved in NWA then?
No, Mickey James is involved in OVW now, right?
Ah, you're right. That's what I was thinking, OVW.
OVW. Yeah. She's the female booker there.
Yeah.
Which her and Al Snow, baby.
I read a rumor somewhere online last week that OVW pitched to AEW to be their kind of like – not performance center, but developmental a while back, but AEW shot them down.
You know, why nothing against OVW, because, I mean, they're down in Louisville,
right,
Kentucky, just 3 hours south of us.
Yeah.
In fact, they had a show 25 minutes down the road from me in Logansport, Indiana this past summer.
Yep.
And they've produced a lot of great talent.
Sure.
Layla Gray came out of OVW of late. The Outrunners came out of OVW. Mm-hmm. So they've had some performers. But when you have a contract, open contract with AEW, like those talents do, where they can go and perform pretty much any independent promotion around, and I'm guessing it's within reason, why nail yourself in a corner or back yourself in a corner and have to use OVW?
Yeah, I agree.
Nothing against OVW. I think they're one of the
I don't know if their talent's deep enough either right now.
We all watched the Netflix special.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah.
And the one that comes to mind is Hollywood Haywood Hoodie J.
I think you're right. Yeah.
She's working for NWA now. She's one of the main ladies for NWA.
Working for Billy Boy.
Billy Corgan. So they've produced some stars and put on a good product. But just why would you want to sell yourself short by only having one independent promotion, especially what WWE just did 2 months ago and is having this independent
WWID program, which
it
seems, I don't know about you, maybe you have, I've heard nothing about that lately. It was like hot right away after they did it. It's like they signed people to it, and then all of a sudden haven't heard nothing.
There was a lot of talents that were on the brink, you know, one of the higher ends of independent talents that signed it, and then you haven't heard anything from them.
Right. Modern said OVW has one guy he really likes.
And that is?
Yeah, waiting to see him type here. So he also said, did you guys see Dude Love appeared at OVW to kick some duty booty?
I did not see
Dude Love. I did not either.
Making an appearance.
Oh, Mick Foley. What a guy.
You got to admit, I mean, hey, Al Snow's running it. Al Snow has the connections. He can bring somebody in if he wants to.
And I know you didn't watch the Japan stuff yet, but I'm sure you saw where Takeshita has a contract with three different promotions right now.
Yeah, I did read that.
Which they said AEW is the priority. So when Tony needs him, he'll be there. But besides that, he can go work DDT in New Japan. It's awesome. He's a heck of a talent. So,
you know, I remember seeing Jack Vaughn. Yeah.
Jack Vaughn.
Takeshna at Warrior Wrestling in South Bend, Indiana. And I remember telling you and Paul how big he is.
Yeah.
And how athletic he is. And like, he's going to do something. This was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, he's just taken off. So,
yep.
I can understand everybody recognizing his talent.
I know Lars from Rancid, the guitar player that's a big wrestling fan, he gave Takeshita a shout out, and he's usually just a pro WWE guy, but he's like, this guy's a star. And yeah. So that was pretty cool to see on the Twitter machine.
Let's get him talking a little bit. And I think he'll be more around well-rounded star.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he holds AEW gold right now with the international title. So
yeah, but he's got Don Callis as a mouthpiece. So
yeah, that's true. And maybe he's working on his English a little bit, but you know, they just need to get him up there to at least like Okada's level to where he can say some stuff.
No, bitch.
Yeah. 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 You said you want to talk a little GCW.
Yeah. So, you know, when you guys started having me on this podcast, I was following GCW pretty heavy, and I followed them pretty well. As of late, I haven't watched a lot of their shows. Just kind of kept up with the headlines. But they had a show last night, which is their go-home show to the Hammerstein Ballroom next Saturday night, which I feel like is their show, their mania. And they got a great story with Allie Catch and Effie right now. I mean, that's one of, if you follow it all, they've done it very, very well. But the next thing is Matt Cardona. He made a post this morning that there's an open challenge for him at the Hammerstein Ballroom, that there was over 8 matches that fell through that he was trying to get done. And now he's going to have a surprise opponent at the Hammerstein. And the only thing I can think of is of what he's done late, and I can think of Jericho showing up at the Hammerstein. Would make sense because of what they had for the ROH championship. Now, the other guy I can think, and I don't know if he's ring ready, would be Bradshaw.
Yeah, and he's been teasing something.
He's been showing up just clotheslining people in his trench
everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I think at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which obviously ROH and AEW just ran.
Right.
And now GCW is going to try to sell that show out. And they set the room up a little bit different.
I'm trying to find how many tickets they've sold. That's what I'm scrolling for over here.
I want to say like they had it set up for like 1,500. 1,500 or 1,800 people, and they were within a couple hundred of being a sellout.
Let's see if I can find it here.
But I feel it's a guy like Jericho that's going to show up against Cardona.
So this was on January 8th, so 4 days ago. The setup was for 1,500. They distributed 1,298. So there's 202 tickets remaining. That was 4 days ago.
So they're pretty close to a sellout.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting seeing some of these numbers. Like Dynamite, this was 3 hours ago, posted by WrestleTix on Twitter. Dynamite, and we talked about the venue it's at in Cincinnati this week because you said you've been there for a concert, the Andrew J. Brady Music Center. Mm-hmm. So it's only set up for 1,573. There's been 1,424 tickets distributed, so only 149 left. But I saw a picture of the building, how it's going to be set up. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool venue. Yeah. It's a very intimate venue.
Yes. Especially, that's what they're going for, I think, right now.
Especially for a wrestling show, let alone a concert, you know, so.
You know, and then I know we always do a Rumble update. 11 hours ago, set up for the Rumble right now is 56,265. They've sold 53,369 tickets.
Yeah, I've been watching tickets, and more than likely I'm gonna be sitting on this couch over here, throwing shit at you, Tanner, on the TV when I see you. So
I'm up in the 200 level. I'm not even down to 100 level. I pay pretty good money for 200 level tickets.
My drinks will be half price than yours.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes. But that should be a good time. I'm glad I mentioned Rumble because I meant to ask you a question. Cardona, surprise entry in the Rumble this year or no?
No.
No? Okay.
No, not with what he's done. Making the appearance of ROH, AEW, basically finally being recognized by people that he's – what he's done for GCW, right, to promote them, to carry them. I think if he does make it – I mean, I would say he's open to it.
He will be an indie because he's at the WrestleCon the day before.
If he does do it, it's under his terms.
Yeah.
And I think he will go as the indie god. He will be indie god Matt Cardona.
Yeah.
With the Indiana Jones hat and vest on.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is he wants to get away from Zack Ryder so bad.
Sure.
Like if you watch all of his YouTube stuff, Zack Ryder's dead. Yeah. Zack Ryder's gone. Yep. If he shows up in WWE, there's still some people going to want to do the woo woo, you know.
Yeah.
Like they're going to want to do the Zack Ryder shit. Yeah. And I don't think he wants that. Now, if Trips writes him a big enough check, he'll do whatever the hell you want. And it's always a possibility. And you know, coming up here in the next 3 weeks, he's going to tease the shit out of that.
Oh, yeah. He's good at that every year. So,
yeah.
It's interesting with the 30 man and women Royal Rumbles and with NXT involved. Just don't get as many surprise returns that you used to.
No,
but they
promote NXT, yeah,
which they should. It wouldn't shock me on the women's side to see an NXT lady win it first time ever. It wouldn't shock me. But if I had a pick, I think it's got to be a returning Becky or Charlotte.
Well, you saw Becky was supposed to return on Netflix, but she got trumped by The Undertaker.
That was the rumor, at least. Yeah.
She was backstage and ready to go.
And Penta got trumped by something. Because Penta's probably debuting tomorrow night. So, which will be interesting to see his presentation. So.
San Jose, baby.
Yep. So, anything else you want to cover, Shep? One thing we didn't talk about is Hangman Adam Page. He's going against Christopher Daniels on Collision next week. Texas Death Match.
What is that all about?
I don't know why they're doing it. You know, they've been attacking each other the last few weeks, but I didn't see they have that on my bingo card. CD getting back in the ring in Texas Deathmatch, but
I mean, I could see him coming back to the ring for ones and twosies, but not a death.
Yeah. But you know, there's something deeper there because Hangman's a face of AEW, and they usually do pretty good with his long term storytelling. So,
and I like this Hangman character right now.
Yeah.
I like the psychotic craziness of Hangman.
Talk about psychotic and crazy. I'm digging the heel Ricochet all of a sudden.
They just make Ricochet look like a bitch, though. They did it again.
Not 2 weeks ago they didn't, with the scissors and attacking Swerve.
No, but I mean, every time he's in the ring, they make him look like a little bitch.
Well, he sells so well. Yeah, they were throwing him around. Hobbs and Archer just seeing who could throw him.
Honestly, just back and forth. I'm like, again, they're making him look like a rag doll.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that they've went to the Swerve Ricochet program, which I think will be good. I think something happened with the Hurt Syndicate and Swerve. I don't think that was supposed to be a one-off. I don't know what happened behind the scenes. Something had to happen there for them to pivot away from that so quickly. I don't know.
Huh.
Because, you know, why wouldn't Swerve get that win back eventually? I don't know. Maybe they will eventually, but I know we were talking. We thought it was going to be like a multi-month series of matches between those two.
But now all of a sudden they're pivoting to the tag titles, so.
Yeah. So that must be done with that. Modern said Hanger has said anyone who's in his way on his road to the title, he'll take them out. So Daniels is in his way.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're this is also a good way to get Daniels off a screen and bring your EVPs back with the IWGP titles. Yeah. So it's time to bring them back and get Christopher Daniels off screen. So this is a way to write him off.
Well, and when they come back, do you think they come back into the Death Rider storyline? Because last time we saw them, they were shredding those papers and running away from Death Riders. And, you know, over in Japan, Jack Perry's like, hey, where were you guys when I needed your help? And they're making all these excuses. So
it'll be interesting to see how they come back.
Yeah, well, and Jack Perry, too, when he eventually comes over.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing them, like, their outfits for New Japan with the pearl necklaces and all that shit.
Yeah.
It was a little over the top, so we'll see how they come back in AEW and see how they act and their dress and their demeanor.
Who was your wrestler of the week for AEW before we wrap up?
Easy peasy. My wrestler of the week is Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Like I said, that promo was so from the heart. And if it wasn't from the heart, he freaking sold me and made me bite hook, line, and sinker. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go in the losing effort with Big Bill. I mean, no shame in losing to Cope, and I thought he put on a really good performance. So, imagine. Notice how fast they were to pivot away from that. Imagine what it would be like if they were to pivot in their top story.
Is he just? I mean, has he got a one-worded mind tonight, or what?
He's trying to get the pivot over, like Chandler Bing, Matthew Perry. Rest in peace. Did years ago on Friends. So, he just really wants him to get away from the
Death Rider.
Matthew Perry. Has it been a year or two now? Yeah, he drowned in his hot tub, and he was pretty much drugged.
Really?
Yeah, they arrested five or six people in connection with that. Yeah.
You watch a lot more E television than I do. What the fuck?
I was a Friends fan, so
I like the show Friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't know Matthew Perry did.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. R.I.P. Hope you never mind. Yeah.
So all right, Shep. Anything else before we wrap this baby up?
That'll do it. Next week. Next week. Yeah. Should be here next week.
Hopefully it's a three-man crew again.
Hopefully it's a three-man crew. We should have a couple good shows of AEW plus big GCW show at the Hammerstein on Saturday night, which I think is going to have a lot of cameos. So,
yeah, might have some AEW appearances too. Who knows?
Yeah, I think there'll be plenty. And I saw they announced Sabu will make an appearance at the show. Good old
Sabu. He always needs the money. Let's put it that way.
He's nuts.
Yes, he is.
Looking forward to next week. Everybody have a great week. And, hey, just to let you know, it's the biggest week in indoor racing. Tomorrow night starts the Chili Bowl. And guess who qualifies on Monday night, Steffi? Kyle Larson. So
we know what Shep's going to be doing.
I got a lot of streaming to do this week.
A lot of time in the man cave.
A lot of time in the man cave. Christopher, this is for Steffi, all of our NASCAR friends. Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, Kyle Busch, JJ Yealy, which he's not really a NASCAR guy, but he's there.
Used to be,
yeah, yeah. A lot of NASCAR guys trying to qualify for the Chili Bowl this year, so.
Man, when I was big into NASCAR, because I was at one time from about 05 through 2011, I went to the Brickyard every year and got real into it. JJ Yealy, this tells you how back my fandom was going. He unseated Bobby Labonte in the 18 Interstate Battery car for a little while.
Yeah. Actually, go back before that, JJ Yealy got on the USAC scene, was driving for Casey Kane and Tony Stewart, I believe.
Whatever happened to Casey Kane?
Still running sprint cars.
Is he?
Yeah, he runs full time on the High Limit. And then Brad Sweet which is Kyle Larson's brother-in-law, runs for Casey Kane as well, and he won 3 Outlaw championships and is still pretty dominant figure. So still runs a full-time sprint car teams.
I mean, he just went, you know, he went from pretty big star in NASCAR with run Dodge 9, and then he went to Hendrix and did okay. And then he just kind of, I didn't know what happened to him. He just kind of.
He had a thing where he gets dehydrated so quickly where he can't run a, you know, a 500-mile race anymore. But
get those fire suits and everything.
Yeah, he can run a, you know, 30, 40 lap sprint car race and be fine. So he's adapted to that and does fairly
good for
well.
Him. Good for him.
But big weekend wrestling and obviously a big weekend racing. So
good stuff.
There's plenty of shit for me to watch. I'm sure my wife will be very, very pleased.
Oh yes, she will. Yes, she will. Yes, she will. I was laughing the other night, and I meant to. And we'll wrap this up, but I meant to say this when we're talking about Hook. My wife tunes in once in a while, or kind of, you know, we'll watch a little, ask some questions, and Hook comes up. She goes, "That kid's still in the company." Because he does look so young. I'm like, yeah, they just don't use him as much as they should. And then she was asking me if, like, anybody's jumped at WWE lately or any WWE guys have come to AEW. I'm like, honestly, I'm waiting for, like, a wave of WWE guys to come to AEW. You know, we've seen WWE guys come to AEW, then go back to WWE. We haven't seen AEW go to WWE and back to AEW yet. There hasn't been enough guys to jump, I guess.
Hadn't been enough jump yet, but I would say
give it another year or two, maybe. Maybe
give it another year or two, and we'll see. Because, I mean, Conrad Thompson, I know you don't like to talk about this guy, but Conrad Thompson made a comment that Vinnie Mac is starting to put some things together for his own promotion. He bought a studio and is already acquiring talent. And those are the words of Conrad Thompson, which
is pretty in the know.
Usually done bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously the guy has FU money. Goes out and buys
more ways than one.
Yeah. Goes out and buys a studio, and then all of a sudden it's starting to acquire talent.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. That's if that's a promotion I will not watch if it gets off the ground, though. I am not a – not a Vince McMahon guy at all.
So. You're gonna put him in the Billy Corgan category, aren't you?
Yep. Bischoff's there. Add another one to the list. So, but on that note, let's wrap up tonight's Kicking Out podcast. Follow us at Kicking Out Pod on all social media platforms. Subscribe and follow wherever you listen to your podcasts at. And if that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. Get the latest Kicking Out merch at kickingoutshop.com. You can get t-shirts, hoodies, mugs. I don't think we have anything else on there right now. Koozies. But you can also we need to get some koozies. We don't have any on there, but we need to get some.
Used to be some koozies, didn't
yeah, it? Yeah, we used to have all kinds of stuff, stickers. Okay. I kind of pulled some of that back. But you can also go to Pro Wrestling Tees, type in Kicking Out Podcast, and find some of our shirts on there as well. You can follow me on social media at Tanner Lee 92. You can follow the KOP Predictions champion Austin Shepherd at the Shep 27. And you can follow Paul Zartman, who big timed us tonight, no showed us, at Paul Zartman 87. And with that, we'll be back next Sunday to kick out yet another podcast. Have a great week, everybody.